Gentlemen, welcome to minute 143 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Steven J. Rubin, a podcaster, a film historian, an author, and a filmmaker. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
By the way, I don't know if you know this, Rob, but I actually made a World War II movie for the Hallmark Channel. Ooh. In 2001. It was released at Christmas. Actually, it was filmed in 2002, released at Christmas 2002. It's called Silent Night. And Silent Night is based on the true story of a German woman in a cabin outside the little town of Aachen, or actually not a little town. It was a hunter's cabin, invited American and German combat troops into her cabin on Christmas Eve night, 1944, during the Battle of the Bulge, and insisted that they leave their weapons outside. This is a true story. They broke bread together, they sang songs together, and unbelievably, they left as friends in the morning. And it was a great story. We got Linda Hamilton to play Mrs. Vinken, Mrs. Elizabeth Vinken, who was the lady who held the truce that night. And Linda was marvelous. The movie was very much honored by the Canadian Television Academy. We were nominated for 4 awards, including Best Director and Best Music. And I'm very proud of that movie. It was a movie that was pitched to me by a gentleman. And then we went to Hawaii and got the rights from the son, who was also in the cabin that night and actually is a character in the movie.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. You really get around Hollywood.
I get around. Just play that Beach Boy song.
Why not? So minute 143 begins with Mellish and Henderson eagerly awaiting an answer to where all that blood is coming from, and ends with Ryben changing his clip. So we ended things yesterday on a cliffhanger where we were waiting to find out what is actually going to happen or what has happened because Henderson just shot at someone that was on the other side of the door and, you know, just a pool of blood. And so this minute begins with the camera panning towards Mellish, who you can see that Mellish is concerned. The look on his face is that he thinks that it could possibly have been Upham. You know, he sort of has let his guard down a little bit, you know, with the whole thing.
I said yesterday, I never believed it was Upham. I think Upham would have squeaked something.
possibly. And then the shot changes, and we actually get a bird's eye shot from behind the two of them, which is done really, really well, because we see both Mellish and Henderson aiming their guns towards the doorway, and we can see outside of through the big hole in the wall, we see a bunch of German soldiers just like running by, you know. So it gives us an idea of these guys are surrounded.
Yeah, and also they dropped their guard for a moment, which was really killer, because you stand in front of an open hole with German troops rushing, you better have your guns ready to bear, and they didn't.
But the shot doesn't come through the hole. The shot comes from the doorway.
Does it?
Yeah. You can see, especially if you scrub back and forth, you see that the bullet holes that come in through the doorway, first of all, they're much larger holes than Henderson made when he shot with his Thompson. So I don't know what type of gun the German is using, but
that's something I never noticed. I always assumed that the shot came from the hole. Interesting. That's an interesting observation. I'll have to look at that again, etc. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it from seconds 7 through 10 of this minute, you can see that there are 3 huge holes that are shot in that doorway area.
And
I just love the way this scene plays out, because, you know, Henderson, played by Max Martini, is dealing with his own issues. You know, he's been hit in the throat, so he's trying to close up the wound or whatever it is. But Mellish is still getting ready for whoever is planning on coming in. And the Germans start shooting inside the room a little bit, and then Mellish charges towards the door and meets the guy head on to try and stop him.
Let's talk a little bit
And
about this guy, by the way. This is an
sure.
SS, these are SS Panzer infantry guys. This is the cream of the German war machine. So Mellish finds himself up against this, I wouldn't call him a giant, but this is a very formidable SS Panzer soldier. And Mellish has, Mellish has some skills. But I think he's really overmatched. Although Mellish does everything he can, including doesn't he try to bite the guy's fingers off?
Yeah, I thought he bites his face. I wasn't really sure where he bit him, but we do see him
Yeah,
that
he
he bites
bites
him.
him. I mean, this is in the history of World War II movies, I would have to say this is one of the most harrowing combat sequences, hand to hand, I have ever experienced. I mean, you feel every ounce of Mellish's desperation in fighting off this Nazi. And you've come to love Mellish. Mellish is another one of the squad. He's the Jew. He's the guy who's very happy to kill Nazis.
Juden, Juden. That's right.
When I interviewed
For sure.
Adam at the Aero Theater that night, he's such a humble guy, a very low-key guy. He does not very boastful. We were very careful, by the way, because we were going to run the movie after the interview, so we were very careful not to give the audience any spoilers. So I'm talking to him about this hand-to-hand combat sequence. I couldn't tell anybody that he died because obviously that would have been booed off the stage. So we talked a lot about the
Right.
challenges of this sequence, which we will discuss in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, again, this sequence, they're rolling around on the ground fighting, hand to hand, and they roll over Henderson twice, which again is something you don't normally see in movies. You hear you have this guy who's wounded that's trying to keep himself alive by holding his hands to his throat. And you got two guys that are rolling around over him. And they don't do it just once, they do it twice, and maybe even three times. Right? In this scene it's only twice. It's like back and forth. Just the way that these guys are fighting is just
It
unbelievable.
is a desperate fight. And I think, like I said, I think I've never seen, I mean, there have been fighting sequences, but not as gritty as this. And I think it was a, it's a tough sequence to watch. It's one of the tougher sequences to watch for me.
Again, this part of the sequence is not as tough as what's going to come up in the next few days. But you're right. Looking at the sequence as a whole, yes. Today we're just talking about the two of them, rolling around on the floor together.
Yes, really. Not having much fun.
No. And I love how they give us shots of both of them taking their hands and putting their hands in the other one's face. Trying to push the guy's
Oh yeah.
face. Trying to do some damage that way
And yeah,
and
no,
stuff like
of
that.
course. It's a harrowing, and it's obviously we'll see that on the other side of the wall, Upham is hearing the screaming. And he's doing nothing, and it's maddening and frustrating and upsetting. And even the fact that Henderson doesn't have, try to help Mellish a little bit, but Henderson's holding his jugular. He's about to die anyway, so it's not much you can do. When
That's
you're
right.
holding your jugular in, it's not going to be long before you're gone.
No, probably not. And but again, the way that the whole sequence is shot, where you have these two guys fighting and another guy who's fighting for his life at the same time, is just done really, really well. You look at it and you're like, wow. Just the idea of having so many moving parts going on at the same time in the same shot. Which obviously warrants multiple rewatching of this movie so that you can catch everything that's going
Yeah,
on.
well, you've actually explained to me for the first time that the bullet that strikes Henderson did not come from the hole, which I obviously isn't, I didn't notice. There's a lot of nuances you've got to see in multiple viewings.
Again, there was a time when I thought that this German that Mellish is fighting, I thought that it was Steamboat Willie. because of the way that the movie, I think the first time I saw it, I thought it was Steamboat Willie, which again, we'll get to Steamboat Willie, in the next 2 weeks or so, but
I'm
still,
sorry, what are you referring to, Steamboat Willie? What do you mean?
Steamboat Willie is the German guy that Miller
Right, well,
let
why do you
go,
call him
at
Steamboat
the
Willie?
radar. First of all, that's how he's referred to in
In the credits? Oh,
in the
I
credits.
actually didn't realize.
Because he one of the things, remember, he's talking about all the different Americanisms of why he likes America and why he hates Germany. One of the things he talks about was is Mickey Mouse, and he says Steamboat
Oh,
Willie.
okay.
So
Yeah, no.
the
If, and when he shows up at the end, the minute he says up, I realize, uh-oh, that's the guy. And he, yeah,
Right,
no,
exactly.
exactly.
We see them fighting, and then the scene changes, and we see four Germans pushing the 20-millimeter gun, trying to change the direction of it in order to shoot at them. And they finally get it in place, and then we see someone start shooting at them, and it turns out that it's actually
It's Reuben.
Reiben. And Reiben has taken up a position inside an adjacent building and is shooting at them. And I gotta tell you, before doing the research for this minute, I had forgotten that it was Reiben who's doing this. I thought it was just some random US soldier that's there that's
Now
shooting at them.
he finally takes out the 20 millimeter, which has been killing them. Yeah, no, that was a particularly satisfying moment, which balances the fact that Mellish is getting the kick out of him.
Completely. Well, and not yet. He's still Mellish at this point. Mellish is still doing well. He hasn't hit rock
Well,
bottom
that's
yet,
true.
but he's
That's
getting
true.
there. But again, Reiben does a great job of, and again, Spielberg doesn't skimp on brutality here.
It's a World War
And
II combat film, not a surprise. Not would give opportunity.
no, but movies before this weren't as visceral when you're dealing with World
No,
War II stuff.
you're.
You know that better than I do.
The levels
How
of
many?
realism have changed dramatically over the years. And when I discuss my favorite World War II movies, we'll talk about some of those movies that had impact on me.
We will get there later
Okay,
today.
very good.
And the Reiben just keeps shooting at them, and then he basically runs out of ammo, pulls out his clip, and gets ready to start putting in a new clip. And that's the way this minute ends. So again, it's a very succinct minute by just showing us the various battles that these characters are dealing with in the middle of all this. We have the hand to hand between Mellish and the Nazi, and then we have Reiben basically fulfilling his promise from 3 minutes ago of him being the one who's going to take out the 20 millimeter.
Exactly.
And we never expected him to do it this way. Because I mean, I've always Reiben has always been my favorite character in this movie. I've always liked his attitude and the way. I mean, again, it's well known that most of these characters fit into World War II or war movie stereotypes. You got the Italian, you got the Jew, you got the you have the what movie is it? There's a John Wayne movie.
No.
Trying to remember which one it is. Maybe it's Sands of Iwo Jima. It's a typical thing where a guy starts talking about getting back home and stuff like that, and okay, this guy,
Just a
I don't remember what the ethnicity was, and that's it. He's not going home. Just like in Platoon, you have Gardner talking about his girl, Mary Joe or whatever her name is. Yeah, she's the girl for me, and okay, this guy ain't making it out of
You know,
here.
in the early drafts of Robert Rodat's script, Reiben's character talks a lot more about working in that lingerie shop. It's a running
Correct.
gag, and I
Yes,
think they cut it down to the
I mean, I've
bone.
read the novelization of this movie, and in the novelization, that they spend a lot of time with different points of Reiben, trying to convince everyone to take a detour to go to this little French city that he can get nylon at a very cheap price in order to send back home to his parents' lingerie shop. You know, that type of thing.
Pretty funny.
So yeah, I'm glad they cut that out though, because I think that Reiben does a nice job with everything that he does here. I've always been a big fan of Ed Burns' work. So,
Sure.
and I mean, again, he even at this point in his career, which is very much the beginning of his career, he's what's it, second billed to Tom Hanks in this movie? Because I guess he's the most familiar of the characters at the time.
Right. Of course. And his director's career was on the horizon, and absolutely.
I even recently, what was it, about a month and a half ago, saw his new movie, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
And what is that movie called?
Millers in Marriage.
Miller's and Marriage. Okay.
I really enjoy that. If I were to choose, if I could like speak to one of the actors in this movie, it would be him. He would be the guy. Okay, I would love to be able to get in touch with him and talk to him about his experiences in this movie.
Sure. He was very nice and very humble.
Joe tried getting me in touch with him, but it didn't work. I'll have to wait until after he listens to this and then says, "Oh, now I'll get in touch with him." Because that's the way these things work, obviously. That's pretty much how this minute ends. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss about in this minute?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. So we now have our Wednesday segment, which is probably going to be your favorite segment of this week. It's your top World War II movies. It's World War II Wednesday. So I know it might not be easy for you to just whittle it down to five.
Oh, it's very difficult, but I will start with A Walk in the Sun, 1946, 20th Century Fox, Dana Andrews, based on Harry Brown's novel. One of the last movies released, in fact, the war was already over when this was released in early 1946, which accounted for it not doing as well. But it's a terrifically poetic World War II movie about an infantry squad that lands on the beach at Salerno, nothing like Omaha Beach, and has to take out a German farmhouse 6 miles from the beach. And that's A Walk in the Sun, directed by Lewis Milestone, who was well known from All Quiet on the Western Front and would soon direct films like Porkchop Hill, Halls of Montezuma, and the original Ocean's 11. That's my five. Number four would be Battleground, 1949, MGM. Van Johnson, John Hodiak, Marshall
Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban, exactly.
Montalban.
As Rodriguez, directed by William Wellman, written by Robert Pyrosh, who won the Oscar that year for Best Original Screenplay. A terrific film. Pyrosh would go on to create Combat, so I spent a lot of time with Robert Pyrosh. My third favorite World War II movie is Hell is for Heroes, Don Siegel, 1962, same year that Longest Day was released. It's one of my favorite Steve McQueen movies. Kind of has a touch of Saving Private Ryan. It's a very violent movie, but also based on a somewhat true story of a unit of soldiers who have to hold a seg a se sector when the rest of their unit is sent north. So they have to pretend they're a company when they're only a squad. And great actors, Bobby Darin, Fess Parker, Bob Newhart, Nick Adams, and Mike Kellen, one of my favorite character actors. So that's my number three. My number two would have to be, The Great Escape, which is 1963, Steve
I
McQueen.
was wondering where that was going to fit on your list.
Yeah, well, I have to say it's tied for one and two. I can't make The Great Escape higher than Saving Private Ryan, I can't make Saving Private Ryan higher than The Great Escape. So they tie for the top film of my favorites of all time. So I would have to go that route. I've seen The Great Escape probably about 300 times. I've written about it. I've shot two documentaries on it. I did the commentary track for the Blu-ray. It's
You
just an idol.
talked on a podcast for 5 minutes about
There you go.
it.
And then, of course, Saving Private Ryan is, we've already talked about Saving Private Ryan. So that's five of probably 40 movies I could mention.
Oh wow, yeah, that's a great list. What? Just do you want to throw out a few other names of movies that you think would come close?
Well, another Steve McQueen movie, The War Lover, also 1962, based on John Hersey's novel. Gregory Peck, 1949, and the 12 o'clock High. These are movies, by the way, I cover in my book, Combat Films. I also say Patton would be in my top 10. Objective Burma, the Errol Flynn movie from 45 would be there. Empire of the Sun, another great World War II movie. Those are the ones that stick out. I mean, on the
Okay.
wall of
Yeah.
my office, I've got Run Silent, Run Deep, the submarine movie from 58,
58.
Clark Gable and Burt Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many movies I could talk about. And then there's some kind of guilty pleasure World War II movies that aren't exactly dramas. For instance, you'll laugh. I'm a fan of The Wackiest Ship in the Army,
Okay.
1960. Ricky Nelson, Jack Lemmon. Very funny movie. Also featuring Mike Kellen, by the way, from Hell is for Heroes. And then I also like Operation Petticoat with Cary Grant
Yes.
and Tony Curtis. A lot of fun. World War II service comedies. The other one is Don't Go Near the Water. I think that's 55, I think. MGM, Glenn Ford. And Glenn Ford's in another submarine movie, which I enjoy with Ernie Borgnine, called Torpedo Run. Oh, and then In Harm's Way, John Wayne, 1965, an Otto Preminger film. We could talk about these for a long time, but those are
Yeah,
some of
that
my.
would. Yeah, okay. That is a great list. Wow. Thank you very much for that. All right. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
I have two podcasts, Stephen J. Rubin's Saturday Night at the Movies on your local podcast platform, also available on YouTube. And then I have Tales from Hollywoodland, which I co-host with two fellow producers, Julian Schlossberg and Arthur E. Friedman, also available on your favorite podcast platforms. I have a Facebook page, Stephen J. Rubin, JAY, and I have an X page, formerly Twitter. Stephen J. Rubin and a LinkedIn page, Stephen J. Rubin. So, and if you just want to send me a nice email, I accept nice emails, Steve, Stevejay Rubin at gmail.com.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter / X. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.
My solitude, reveries of days gone by.